Track 2. Hello and welcome to the Nanoos, recorded on Wednesday the 14th of March. I'm Louise.
I'm Sue.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. This week we welcome the following new members: Dennis Pritchard, Leslie Pugh, Joyce Kenny, Maureen and James Marsh, and Vera Titley. We hope you will enjoy receiving your discs. And now Sue will start us off with the news.
Ahead of the club's financial incomings and outgoings being released in detail for the 2016-17 season, Wolves have announced the key figures from the accounts, which spell out a grim financial picture compared to previous years. However, the huge investment made by owners Fossen, who bought the club at the start of the season in question, is paying dividends this season, with the club top of the Championship and edging towards promotion to the cash-rich Premier League. Wolves had made a profit of £5.8 million the year before, which previous owner Steve Morgan was still at the helm. Fossen's arrival heralded a huge increase in money spent on players. Despite the big outlay, the team only finished 15th in the Championship table, one position lower than the previous season. Large sums were also spent changing their head coach, with Kenny Jackett sacked and Walter Zenger and Paul Lambert hired and fired during the season. This was Wolves' first season without parachute payments following their relegation from the Premier League in 2012. Moulinier's average attendance rose to 21,572 despite a drop in season ticket figures, meaning an increase of £1.2 million in ticketing income. Wolves attributed the massive £23.2 million pre-tax loss to player transfers, wages, changes in head coach and staff, and an investment in their Compton Park training facilities. Wolves said today, "Since taking ownership of the club, Fossen International have always maintained the view that increased expenditure both on and off the pitch is essential to ensure Wolves are able to compete with other clubs of a similar size and ambition. They believe that with sound investment made with the club's long-term future at heart, they can realise their ambition for the club to win promotion to the Premier League, where it can enjoy continued growth and sustained success." The figures will heighten the need for Wolves to win promotion this season. Financial fair play rules dictate that clubs are able to lose up to £39 million over a three-year rolling period. Wolves have recouped far more from player sales this season, around £10 million, but still spent around £20 million on signing Ruben Neves, Roderick Miranda and Barry Douglas, and Rafa Mir, meaning they are likely to post another sizeable loss for 2017-2018.
A £24 million vision for the future of leisure centres in Dudley has been revealed. The borough's three centres will feature state-of-the-art facilities following major investment. Details of the plans, which will see a new leisure centre built on Flood Street, Dudley, to replace the current building on Wellington Road, and sites at Starbridge and Haleshowen refurbished, have emerged. The centres in Dudley and Haleshowen would both be fitted with 25-metre pools, while the Dudley Centre will have a 5-court sports hall and a 100-station gym. Here's to you, healthy heroes. It's no easy feat saying no to the snooze button and braving the grey outdoors for a trip to the gym. And if you're going to conquer the cold to stay in shape, you don't want a second of that workout going to waste. High in protein, Arla Protein is made from all natural ingredients. Bosses have now confirmed that the new Dudley Leisure Centre, hailed by council chiefs as a facility fit for the 21st century, will be built on the Flood Street car park as part of plans to regenerate that part of the town. The Wellington Road facility would be bulldozed and the site sold off for development. Under current plans, the new Dudley Centre will include a 25-metre, 8-lane pool and a smaller learning pool. There will also be a 5-court sports hall, a gym, 2 studios, a viewing area and cafe. Existing centres in Stourbridge and Halesowen will have become run down and dated and will undergo major overhauls. The pool at Stourbridge will be refurbished and there will be new changing rooms. At Halesowen, the existing 33-yard pool will be converted into a 25-metre, 8-lane pool. The gym will also be extended. Regeneration boss Councillor Ian Kettle said, "We are delighted with the upgrade of our facilities, which will meet the public's aspiration and needs. We have made great progress and things are looking good for the future. These facilities are part of our healthy vision for the borough, as we do need to get more people active." Work on the Dudley and Stourbridge centres is expected to start in April 2019 and Halesowen a year later. It marks a huge change from a year ago when a leisure centre in either Stourbridge or Halesowen was set to be axed to save money, under plans by the previous Labour administration at Dudley Council.
Stourbridge College is to stop offering eye-level courses, bosses have confirmed. The college, part of BMET, intends to phase out the academic further education courses over the next 18 months. Instead, the college based in Hagley Road will be looking to focus more on vocational schemes, offering apprenticeships and embracing new T-level qualifications from 2020. Jill Caldicott, head of Stourbridge College, said by withdrawing A-levels and focusing on technical training in line with local enterprise partnership and combined authorities skills priorities, the college would be able to provide students with a wide range of great vocational courses that develop the skills that local and national employers want. She added, "We do understand there may be some concerns. The decision to consolidate our A-level offer and to phase out A-levels at the college has not been taken lightly and was made after consultation with our own staff and students. We are doing all we can to provide the support and advice they need. As part of this, there are two events at the college on Wednesday, March the 7th and 14th, at which students can discuss options with our team. The decision to focus on vocational courses means we will continue to develop strong and diverse vocational course education at the wonderful, revitalised facilities at Stourbridge College. We believe this will benefit our students and the employers we serve. BMEC's existing Stourbridge College campus will become a leading technical centre under the plans, while Sutton Coldfield College will become home to a new A-level centre of excellence from September 2019. Stourbridge MP Margot James has welcomed the plan to shift focus away from A-levels towards more vocational qualifications, such as T-levels and apprenticeships, and she said, "I have always passionately made the case for the widening of access to important vocational courses, which I know can be hugely rewarding and beneficial for those who undertake them. I am also sure that focusing on vocational skills will benefit our local economy, providing employers with the future workforce that they need."
House of Fraser, owner of Wolverhampton's landmark Beattie's department store, is set to be sold by its Chinese owners in the latest sign of upheaval on Britain's beleaguered high street. Beattie's in Wolverhampton has been part of the House of Fraser since 2005. Sunpower-owned group is in talks to sell a majority, 51% stake, in House of Fraser to Chinese tourism group Wuju Wenhua. It comes after recent trading troubles at the House of Fraser and amid a dismal start for 2018 for UK retail, with Toys R Us and Maplin both collapsing into administration in February. A House of Fraser spokesman said it was business as usual at the chain in the UK, adding that the move was just a change in ownership. Sunpower bought House of Fraser in 2014, but the deal has since proved ill-fated for the Chinese giant, with UK trading under pressure and little success in its plans to launch department stores worldwide. House of Fraser reported a 2.9% fall in sales in the crucial 6 weeks to December the 23rd, while online sales fell 7.5% after hiccups with the launch of a new web platform. The chain was forced to ask for rent cuts in some of its stores in early January, while also overhauling its supplier base as part of moves to cut costs. House of Fraser has 56 department stores in the UK. Along with the Wolverhampton store, it has a Beatty's in Solihull, Rackham's in Shrewsbury and branches in Birmingham and Telford. At the time of the Christmas trading update, SunPower chairman said the Chinese group was fully committed to its long-term investment in the UK retail market. He added, SunPower would continue to provide all the necessary support to ensure the House of Fraser's success as a leading UK premium department store chain. The group had planned to expand the chain internationally, with 50 House of Frasers planned across China under the name of Oriental Fraser. But it has only opened one House of Fraser in China, a store in Nanjing in late 2016. The Wolverhampton shop was opened in 1887 by James Beatty and became the cornerstone of a 12-strong department store empire. At its height in the 1980s and 90s, the Wolverhampton store alone employed more than 800 people. But an ill-fated move into Birmingham left it open to a £69 million takeover by House of Fraser in 2005. House of Fraser was bought by SunPower in 2014.
A sight loss charity is urging residents to get their eyes tested during World Glaucoma Week, which kicked off on Sunday, the 11th of March. The condition affects the optic nerve that connects the eye to the brain, and if undiagnosed, the condition can lead to a deterioration of vision or even blindness, mainly impacting people in their 70s and 80s. Arwin Jones of the Beacon Centre, based in Wolverhampton, said, "We all remember to visit the dentist, but eye examinations are often overlooked. Glaucoma can be treated with a number of options, which will stop sight deteriorating. The sooner it is spotted, the better."
The new boss of a hospital trust has pledged to continue work to improve care and patient safety. Richard Beacon has taken over as a new chief executive of the Walsall Healthcare NHS Trust, which runs Walsall Manor Hospital. His arrival comes at a time when hospitals in the West Midlands have been battling to cope with severe winter pressures. Nearly 300 ambulances were kept waiting outside Walsall Manor for more than half an hour in January, while 82.6% of A&E patients were seen within 4 hours, down by 95%. Mr Beacon said that one of his main aims would be to continue our improvement journey on patient safety, culture and clinical quality through a comprehensive improvement programme which focuses on patient outcomes. He added, "It is imperative that we bring all our staff on this journey and include senior clinical and managerial leaders in the key decision we need to take."
The puppeteer behind Lady Penelope and Thunderbirds will be making a guest appearance at Wolverhampton Art Gallery this month, where the puppet herself is on show. Mary Turner, who operated Lady Penelope, is appearing as part of the gallery's exhibition TV Puppets, Icons from 80 Years of Entertainment, on Saturday, March the 24th at 2 p.m. Mary's career started in 1958 on Torchy the Battery Boy for AP Films, where she went on to work on 9 of Gerry Anderson's iconic shows, including Stingray, Thunderbirds and Captain Scarlet, as well as her own series such as Rupert the Bear. As supervising puppeteer, she was at the forefront of developing the technology in the puppets as well as bringing them to life. Mary was also responsible for sculpting what were to become many of our most enduring and iconic TV puppet characters, including Steve Zodiac, Marina, Troy Tempest, Captain Scarlet and, of course, Lady Penelope. Archivist at the National Puppetry Archive, Michael Dixon, said, "It's been great being able to showcase puppets from across the decades and see generations of families brought together. Mary was at the forefront of developing technology in the puppeteering worlds, and I'm sure her talk will be insightful and inspiring to all those who attend." Earlier in February, the gallery welcomed Ronnie LaDrew, the puppeteer of Rainbow's Zippy, to launch the popular TV puppet exhibition, which runs until the end of April. His visit kicked off the gallery's TV puppet display, which has seen visitors, young and old, turn out to get up close to Bagpuss, the Clangers, Fozzie Bear, and other lovable characters from children's TV. Councillor John Reynolds, Cabinet Member for City Economy, said, "The puppet exhibition at Wolverhampton Art Gallery has been extremely successful to date for adults and children. We have already welcomed Ronnie LaDrew to Wolverhampton, whose talk sold out, and we are hoping residents and locals will be as enthusiastic for Mary Turner." Other puppets on show include Bagpuss, the Clangers and Basilbrush. The exhibition runs until April the 29th. Tickets cost £5 and can be purchased in advance by phoning 01902 552055 or visiting the Wolverhampton Art Gallery.
A Zimbabwean-born father of four who settled in the Black Country has won £300,000 worth of orders for his homemade shampoo and skin oil. And that could be just the tip of the iceberg for 45-year-old Wellington Chaparadza, who arrived in this country in 2002 and had been unemployed for years. He also has kitchen and bathroom cleaners waiting to go on sale, which are biodegradable and 100% green. With plans to mass produce soap made with goat's milk, Mr. Chaparadza from Wolverhampton was brought up by his grandmother, and he has her to thank for the astonishing success story. He won a scholarship for underprivileged children run by Zimbabwean president's wife, which allowed him to study in Cuba, Russia and the UK, and saw him start a chemistry PhD degree at Keele University, which could not be finished through lack of funds. Down on his luck, he recalls seeing his grandmother use Mayhew, a natural non-alcoholic drink made through the fermentation of maize and popular Southern Africa, to deal pots, to clean pots and pans. He decided to use his chemistry skills to investigate the phenomenon. He used some of the contents, such as lactic acid and added others while developing a personalised fermentation process in a bid to develop environmentally friendly natural shampoos, soaps and cleaning products. Mr. Chaparadza mixed a string of different formulae at home before accidentally hitting the jackpot by spilling some of the latest concoction onto the kitchen floor. When he wiped it away, he realised the dirt had disappeared with it. He recalled it was trial and error. From that moment, I knew that I had cracked it, but had no business experience. He contacted Wolverhampton-based employment and skills charity, Access to Business. Their advisors gave him assistance on development, branding, marketing and dealing with distributors. Its chief executive, Josie Kelly, said, "We saw he had a fantastic product. They introduced him to Jay Patel from Wolverhampton Growth Hub, which is supported by the City Council and Wolverhampton University. He helped with product trial runs, pricing structures and marketing strategy, while also helping him to find a unit on the Sunbeam industrial estate and get a £30,000 Black Country Gold grant to merchandise the plant. Mr. Patel said he was using natural materials, and once he dipped a dirty coin in the solution and it came out shiny clean, I knew he was onto something big. Once he starts getting regular orders, he can begin taking people on. Councillor John Reynolds, Wolverhampton Council Cabinet Member for Economy, said, "We are extremely proud of Wellington. With continued support from advisers, he received two huge orders from major London distributors who now want his products in London and other European stores. Another great business achievement for Wolverhampton, Wellington, who lives in Ettingshaw, said, "It has been hard for the past few years, but now I'm very happy. They have all been very helpful. Without them, this would have been a dream lost." He will showcase his products at the Access to Business Spring into Enterprise event at the Hayward Suite at the Molyneux Stadium at 10:30 a.m. on March the 22nd, and the Black Country Chamber Business Festival at the same venue on May the 3rd. For more information about the events and the work of Access to Business, ring 01902 572 397.
A Chinese GP has walked free from court after being cleared of sexually assaulting 5 patients in 10 days during a temporary posting at a Black Country surgery. Amirul Haq was only a few weeks into a 4-month placement at the Dudley practice when the allegations were made and police alerted, Wolverhampton Crown Court was told. The 33-year-old said, "I am relieved by the verdict and thankful to my family and friends for their continued support. I look forward to rebuilding my life and the opportunity of returning to practice in the future." He had been accused of unnecessarily inappropriate behaviour of a sexual assault towards some patients. Mr Philip Bradley QC, prosecuting, told the jury, "If Dr Haq had acted in the way these women have alleged, there could not have been any medical justification for doing so, and he did this in the furtherance of his own sexual gratification. He would have breached general medical council guidelines on intimate examination, but not inadvertently, because it was necessary to do so to commit these offences. But the doctor, who was of previous good character, insisted he had done nothing wrong and maintained the complainants were either mistaken or lying. He suggested there may have been collusion between the 5 women and their complaints had not been made independently of each other. A post referring to the doctor's alleged behaviour had been placed on Facebook before any patient had made an official complaint," the jury was told, "but it was later taken down at the request of the Dudley practice. The defence suggested it would be reasonable to infer there may have been collusion between some or all of the women protesting about Dr Haq, who was of previous good character." Judge Amjad Nawaz told the jury during his summing up of the case that to convict they had to be sure that each complainant was acting independently without their evidence being contaminated by that of any of the others. The jury acquitted Dr Haq from Lady Paul Road, Borsall Common, of 5 charges of sexual assault. The verdict came a couple of years after he was acquitted by a jury at Teesside Crown Court of indecently assaulting a woman patient at the hospital where he was working. The costs of the latest case will be paid out by public funds.
A Starbridge woman campaigning to give domestic abuse victims a voice says she has mixed views on new plans announced by the government today, that's Thursday, to help tackle the problem. Sam Billingham, who founded Survivors of Domestic Abuse, otherwise known as SODA, after leaving an abusive relationship, was speaking to BBC Breakfast reporters on TV last Thursday. She was flying the flag for women as part of International Women's Day and giving her thoughts on new measures announced by Prime Minister Theresa May and Home Secretary Amber Rudd that will form part of the government's draft domestic abuse bill. Now, under these proposals, breaching the order would be a criminal offence. Plans also include toughening sentencing for abusers when offences involve or affect a child, and the creation of a domestic abuse commissioner to hold the government to account. Sam, who was in an abusive relationship for 3 years before she fled, was invited onto the BBC breakfast sofa to give her thoughts on the plans. And she told presenters Naga and Charlie the government's plans sound wonderful on paper, adding, if anything does come out of this, it will be amazing for those who are experiencing domestic abuse. Awareness is key. It's vital. We've got many people, especially young people, who don't know they're in an abusive relationship. So with more awareness, they might leave the relationship sooner. She was sceptical about the plans to ban abusers from drinking alcohol, saying, not all abusers drink. Many are professionals, doctors. You can't label every abuser as a drinker. They'll find a way around it. They're very clever, very manipulative. As for the proposal to tag abusers, she said, I just don't think it's strong enough to deter their behaviour. She welcomed the idea of a commissioner, saying it would be great for sufferers of domestic abuse to have someone to speak up for them because they've just lost all faith in the system. And she stressed that those affected, men and women, need to be believed and heard more than anything. She warned against cuts to schemes to provide safe houses, saying if sufferers of abuse haven't got a safe place to go, they have no other option but to stay in that relationship.
A Stourton businesswoman has been reunited with her new gaming van after it was stolen and traced to the power of Facebook. Julie Evans, who recently set up Gamer Van, a mobile social gaming experience, was distraught when the vehicle she had only recently kitted out with state-of-the-art equipment was stolen in Wombourne last Tuesday, March the 6th. The former fleet office manager, who set up the business towards the end of 2017, said, it was only sign-written on the Tuesday. I picked it up at 10 a.m. and it was stolen at 6:30 p.m. However, the timing of the theft was somewhat fortuitous. As she added, the police said that the only saving grace was that it was sign-written or I would never have got it back. Having posted pictures on her Facebook page of the distinctive black van, which boasts a bright mural on the back, social media users were quick to share the images, and within days, Julie was contacted by a man in London who said that he had seen the vehicle parked up in Mitcham, southwest London. After realising it was her van, Julie contacted the police and the vehicle was then towed to safety to a compound to be checked over by forensic investigators before it could be collected. She told the news, I picked it up from London yesterday and the guy from the compound said, I'm so glad you've got it back. I've been following you on Facebook. It was only through the power of the public and Facebook that I was able to get it back. 800 people shared the posts on Facebook for me, and I had over 50,000 views. The public really pulled together. Without them, I never would have got it back. She said she had been waiting for the van, which she rents out for parties, to be finished off before advertising the new business. But since it was stolen, she has been bombarded with enquiries.
Staffordshire Wildlife Trust has vowed that it will not give permission for any badger culling at the 27 nature reserve sites it runs in Staffordshire, including Highgate Common in Wombourne.
A major clampdown on litter and dog fouling will see a zero-tolerance hit squad deployed by Dudley Council, Kingdom Enforcement Services, made up of ex-police and military personnel armed with body cameras. And they will take on responsibility for patrolling the borough streets, parks and open spaces for a trial 12-month period. The firm will initially have 5 officers on the beat, plus 1 team leader overseeing operations, but that is expected to increase as the pilot goes on. It is expected to see a significant increase in the number of fixed penalty notices, FPNs, for those who drop litter or fail to pick up after their pets. The move will not cost the council a penny, with Kingdom receiving payment directly as a percentage of the financial penalties issued. However, the local authority will still retain a percentage of the income from the fixed penalty notices. The company has a proven track record of success and already works with more than 30 local authorities across the country, including Wolverhampton City Council and Birmingham City Council. Kingdom issued more than 9,000 FPNs in Wolverhampton last year, after being taken on by the local authority in the middle of 2015. Comparative figures before they took over show just 25 were handed out from April 2014 to March 2015. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, "We have a zero-tolerance attitude towards litter and dog fouling. I'm sure the majority of law-abiding residents would agree that those who make our borough untidy should be fined. We hope this will be a deterrent which hits the pocket and makes them think twice about dropping litter or not cleaning up after their dogs in the future." Mark Mountford, Business Manager for Kingdom, added, "We're really looking forward to working with Dudley Council and the team can't wait to get out there and get cracking. Our results speak for themselves and the message is simple. If you drop litter or don't pick up after your dog, there is a good chance you'll be caught and hit in the pocket."
Ashwood Nursery's owner, John Massey, will be opening his private canalside garden for charity this weekend. The spring open day in aid of Wings, Wombourne Special Needs Support Group, will take place on Saturday, March the 17th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Mr. Massey's 3-acre garden features an abundance of rare plants, as well as familiar favourites, and comprises informal borders, island beds, woodland dells, and a wildlife meadow. Entry is £5. Cash only, please. All proceeds will go to Wings, the Garden Centre's charity of the year. The garden is located at Ashwood Nurseries, Ashwood Lower Lane, King Swinford. To find out more, go to www.ashwoodnurseries.com/events/johns-garden-open-day-march2018.
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Louise.
It's goodbye from Sue.
And goodbye from Joyce.
Goodbye, everybody.